words of the Apostle Paul as he is closing up a thought process where he's thinking together about the way people can live their lives in Christ. And he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Let's do exactly that. Let's give thanks to God the Father through Jesus in prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for this season. We're thankful for this day. We're grateful for your Spirit that dwells within us. And we ask God now that you would unite us together in heart and mind and spirit, that we'd be able to explore what it means to be the people who live in the peace of Christ. Bless our time now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this has been another one of those weeks, hasn't it? We started off the week recognizing the life of Nelson Mandela and honoring his life with the people of South Africa and folks from all around the world. And then Friday, everything changed again. Things change so often, don't they? Seems like way too frequently and way too close to home. And so the shooting at Arapaho High School stopped everyone in the tracks once again. And then yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the shooting at Sandy Hook. A lot of things stir up in our hearts and minds in days like that. And as we come to this morning and we read the scriptures, we want to think together about what it means to be the people who live in the peace of Christ. You know, in just about a month and a half, February 3rd, folks from all around the world are going to gather in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, at the studio of a fellow named Norman Rockwell. Remember Rockwell? So they're going to gather to recognize Norman Rockwell's 120th birthday. And they're going to be gathering there in his studio. You remember Rockwell and the way that he, in many ways, kind of defined the second half of the 20th century in terms of American imagery and values with his artwork. Started when he was very young. He was born of second-generation immigrant parents in New York City. By the time he was in his teens, in his early teens, he was already selling drawings and paintings to major magazines. Before he completed his teenage years, he became the art director for the Boy Scouts of America and Boys Life magazine. And by the time he was 22, he published his first cover for Saturday Evening Post. His artwork, his imagery, and his concepts had a way of bringing real clarity to the issues of the day, not only in terms of making people feel warm and welcome and connected, but also in a way that kind of challenged us from time to time as well, as he made commentary on the world. In the early 40s, he did a series of paintings that were based on a speech that was given by President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The speech was called The Four Freedoms, and Rockwell painted a series of pictures, freedom from want, freedom from need, freedom of speech, freedom of worship. And those four freedoms became central to the time and the day. And then in 1964, he painted another painting that was in relationship to the civil rights crisis that was happening. He simply called it the problem we all live with. And in many ways, we still live with the problem. But Rockwell's commentary began to help us understand the world in some very interesting ways. Seems like kind of a simpler time, doesn't it? I wonder what it would be like if we asked him to paint a picture of the world today. If we asked him to paint a picture of what it would be like to live in the peace of Christ, what would that imagery look like? When we think about the peace of Christ, we think about this Advent season. And we often pray for peace in the Advent season. It's a time when we recognize Jesus coming into the world as the Prince of Peace. We talk about the dove that descends out of heaven over the baptism of Jesus as an image of peace. We think about the Hebrew language of shalom, which means an inner peace and an atmosphere that is without conflict. We think about a number of ways that we talk about peace in terms of harmony or lack of violence. We talk about inner peace and quiet that helps us to move away from the heaviness of the worries and the anxieties of the day. But when we talk about peace, we talk about peace in so many different ways. You know, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Peace Corps. 215,000 people. Anybody here serve in the Peace Corps? Anybody close by? Yeah. 215,000 who have served in order to try to make the world a bit better place. And then we have the annual Nobel Peace Prize given to a world leader. Kind of interesting to me that the Nobel Peace Prize is given to honor a man who made his fortune designing explosives, you know, things of that sort. But today we're talking about the peace of Christ, a peace that is unique. A peace that comes to us and is spoken to us throughout the scriptures. From the book of Colossians, we have this image that invites us to allow the peace of Christ to dwell within us richly and to be thankful for that. Now, sometimes when we think about allowing the peace of Christ to dwell within us, we really wonder what that's all about. But for the writer of the day in the book of Colossians, for the Apostle Paul, he was giving some very specific instructions, inviting the people to be centered in their faith, not scattered in their beliefs, but really centered in Christ. And if they could be centered in Christ, then the peace of Christ could dwell within them and their spirits could overflow with a spirit of thanksgiving. And so in a very real way, followers of Christ are invited not only to receive that peace, but also to be agents of that peace out into the world. But the world gets scarier and scarier as it continues to change. Some of you might be ardent readers of a really great comic strip called Calvin and Hobbes. You know Calvin and Hobbes? Okay. So one particular comic strip, Calvin and Hobbes, Calvin's coming down into the living room early in the morning, and his mother is sitting there taking a cup of coffee, a morning cup of coffee, sitting in her favorite chair. And she looks over at Calvin as he walks into the room and is kind of amazed by his appearance, because Calvin is all dressed up and he's got on a huge space helmet on his head, and he's got a cape that's tied around his neck and draped over his shoulders and hangs down all the way to the floor. And in one hand he's got a flashlight and the other hand he's got a baseball bat. And he walks through the living room and his mother says, "What's up today?" And he says, "Nothing yet." And she says, "Yet?" He says, "You never know what's going to happen. I want to be ready just in case, you know?" And that's sort of the way that some of us live our lives. You know, his mother looks back at him and says, "I need a suit like that, you know? I need that kind of protection." Sometimes when we look out at the world, we think, "I need those kind of things because the world is always changing all the time. And if it's going to change, then bring it on. I'm ready for you, you know?" Well, I don't have a protective suit like Calvin's to be able to offer you today. But what I do have is the Word of God from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, where Jesus speaks to his disciples, says, "Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. My peace I give you." Right in the middle of that little phrase, there's this really wonderful description of the difference between the peace of God and the peace of the world. He says, "I give you my peace, not as the world gives do I give, but don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." We don't receive the peace of Christ in the way that the world offers peace, because the world offers peace in a different way. The world offers peace through law and order and structure, and those things are all important to us, all critically important to us. But Jesus offers peace that is described as a peace that passes all understanding. And that peace comes into our lives when we open our hearts and we say yes to the life of Christ coming to dwell within us. And he promises that he will reside within us and grant us peace. Literally, when we think about the gracious gift of God that comes through Jesus Christ, that gift of salvation is an inner peace that comes within us. In our Methodist heritage, we talk about that inner peace with a very unique word. We talk about assurance. We have the assurance that we are children of God. We have assurance about the love of God. We have assurance that the Spirit of God is at work in the world, and that we as believers in Christ can be followers of that kind of peace and participants in that kind of peace. A peace that passes all understanding. A peace that is different from the peace of the world, because it's part of the mystery of God. And as part of the mystery of God, it's a unique gift that comes to every single one of us. There's maybe no better place to think about an image of peace than at the manger scene. We don't think about a lot of commotion at the manger scene, do we? We think about Mary and Joseph and the Christ child. We don't really imagine, you know, a lot of pushing and shoving and a lot of loud talk and commotion, and nobody's fighting to see who gets the first rights to the movie or anything of that sort. Today we'd have paparazzi, we'd have news crews, we'd have live broadcasts going on. There'd be somebody there trying to get a hold of a handful of hay so that they can get it on eBay as soon as possible, you know, to sell the rights or something, you know. Yeah. But the manger scene is a place of peace, great peace. Jesus says, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives, but let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Paul says, "Let the peace of Christ dwell within you richly." The book of Philippians says, you can see this peace, know this peace that passes all understanding. But how are we supposed to know that in a world that is always being turned upside down by violence, chaos? Well, you might be in a situation even right now where you look out at the future and you say, I'm not sure I really want to even go there because I know what's in store for me out there. I can anticipate some of the things because I've got some anxiety stirring in me right at this very moment about what's on the horizon for me. Or you might look at the backside of the coin and you might see the things that have already taken place, and you might feel like people have been pushing you and shoving you, and you don't know quite how you're going to find any kind of settling in or any kind of stability in your life. Well, if that's the situation for you, that's exactly the kind of situation that Jesus loves to speak a word of peace. That's exactly the kind of situation where he loves to say, "My peace be with you," when everything looks like it is in turmoil. Do you remember when he spoke those words from John chapter 14? Remember, it was just hours, literally hours, before the crucifixion. He's gathered there with his disciples in the upper room. He washed their feet. He shared the Last Supper. And he spoke to them about peace that could be with them. And I believe that when he walked out of the door of that room and headed toward the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew full well all the things that were going to unfold. And that's very important for me, because it means for me that the chaos and turmoil of the world is superseded by the peace of God, that the peace of Christ transcends the commotion of the world. All the chaos that can come is transcended by the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so when we think about the peace of Christ, we know that we long to live in a world that is filled with peace. We long to live in a way that senses harmony with one another. Sometimes we can achieve that. Sometimes there are forces from outside that inhibit that whole process for us. But the peace of Christ that is ours on the inside, the assurance of the love of God, the assurance that we are children of God, the assurance that the Holy Spirit is at work in the world, that's a gift that no one can take away from us. And so we come together this day thinking about the peace of Christ. It's the peace that allowed the lion and the lamb to rest together. It's the peace of Christ that comes because a little child will lead them. It's the peace of Christ that passes all understanding, all worldly and earthly understanding, because it's a part of the mystery of God. I wonder today if you'd like to renew or reclaim your commitment to understanding the depth of the peace of God in your own life. I wonder today if you'd be willing to join me in a prayer of obedience that simply would say, we will live our lives knowing that through the power of assurance, the presence of God is in our life, and the peace of Christ that is within us will supersede any chaos, turmoil, and commotion that comes from the world. Doesn't mean we're immune to it, but it means that from an inner perspective, we are the people of God. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we give you great thanks that you came into the world to be the Prince of Peace. We thank you that you were born there in that Bethlehem manger. We thank you that even though the world seems to be turned upside down, you have a plan for our lives. And you speak peace into our hearts, and you ask us to be agents of your peace in the world. And so we come together this day, Lord, to lift our prayer, to once again ask you to draw close, to enter in, and through the power of your love, to grant us the assurance that we are the children of God, that we know that you love us, and we know that you are working in the world with a spirit of love and hope and joy and peace. And so we pray together this day that as we share this Christmas season with one another, that our lives would be filled to overflowing with this incredible spirit of grace and peace, and that that message of hope would be known, would be evident to all who would come in contact with us. For we want to be the children of your heart, and we thank you for the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we close our time of worship together, we're going to sing a great carol of the season, Angels We Have Heard on High. Do you have your voices tuned up? Let's stand as we sing Angels.